Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please turn to the 19th chapter of the book of John. John 19, verses 23 to 24. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, "Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots." These things, therefore, the soldiers did. The Amplified Bible, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his outer clothes and made four parts, a part for each soldier, and also the tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top throughout. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, to decide whose it will be." This was to fulfill the scripture, "They divided my outer clothing among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." There he is. There's Jesus hanging on the cross. And down below, there on the ground, a group of soldiers begin parting out his clothes. They part out the pieces of his raiment. They divide his outer clothing, his outer garments. One share for each soldier. They take the clothing and put it into four piles. This here and this there. This here and this there. And now one of the soldiers takes hold of this coat, this tunic, this long shirt-like undergarment worn next to the skin. After dividing out the other items, was this the item that remained? And how does one part out a single garment? The odd item? Oh, if it was more than this. There was something about this coat. Something about this body coat. There was something special about this tunic. There was something exceptional about this shirt-like undergarment. Without seam, seamless, woven from the top throughout, woven in one piece. Psalm 22, verses 16 to 18, "For dogs have surrounded me, the congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." The Wycliffe Bible reads, "For many dogs encompassed me, the counsel of the wicked men besieged me. They delved mine hands and my feet, for many dogs surrounded me. Yea, a band of wicked men besieged me. They pierced my hands and my feet. They numbered all my bones. Soothly they looked at and beheld me, and they counted up all my bones. Yea, they beheld me. They parted my clothes to themselves, and they sent lot on my cloth. Then they parted my clothes among themselves, and they cast lots for my cloak." And finally, the Amplified Bible reads, "They divide my clothing among them and cast lots for my garment." The footnote, a prophetic reference to the long, seamless, shirt-like tunic worn by Jesus as an undergarment. This coat, this body coat, don't rend it. Don't tear it up. Don't rip it. Don't cut it. Don't tear up his robe. Jesus' seamless coat, this garment worn next to the skin. You know, I'm praying that the Lord will speak to us today. It's not that this coat could not have been rent or torn or ripped or cut, although it wouldn't be, because it couldn't be, for Psalm 22 must live. This body coat, there was something about it. Something about this garment, something about the makeup of this garment. Something surreal and unreal about it. I mean, these soldiers could have each taken a piece of this garment. They could have at least attempted, tried, made effort to rent the coat, to tear it, to rip it up, to cut it up. Four pieces. They could each take a piece and they could, you know, pull it out and show it off. Show people. They take a look at this, this piece of Jesus' seamless coat. Well, the prophecy of Psalm 22 had to be fulfilled. And yes, let's know. It is all about the fulfillment of Scripture. And yet these soldiers had a choice that day. Don't rend it. Don't tear it. Don't rip it. Don't cut it. And so they cast lots for it. They start rolling dice. Start throwing dice in the winter. Took the whole thing. The words of Charles Spurgeon, and they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they did cast lots. There is a world of meaning in that short sentence. And they crucified him, driving their bolts of iron through his blessed hands and feet, fastening him to the cross and lifting him up to hang there upon a gallows reserved for felons. We can scarcely realize all that the crucifixion meant to our dear Lord, but we can join in Faber's prayer. Lord Jesus, may we love and weep since you for us are crucified. Then was fulfilled all that our Lord had foretold in Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 to 19, except his resurrection, the time for which had not arrived. The criminal's clothes were the executioner's prophets. The Roman soldiers who crucified Christ had no thought of fulfilling the scriptures when they parted his garments, casting lots, yet their action was exactly that which had been foretold in Psalm 22:18. The seamless robe would have been spoiled if it had been torn. So the soldiers raffled for the vesture while they shared the other garments of our Lord. The dice would be almost stained with the blood of Christ, yet the gamblers played on beneath the shadow of his cross. Gambling is the most hardening of all vices. Beware of it in any form. No games of chance should be played by Christians, for the blood of Christ seems to have bespattered them all. You know, there's a lesson. There's a lesson here. A lesson here for us. The seamless robe would have been ruined. It would have been spoiled if it would have been torn. These were unregenerate soldiers, men that knew not God. And yet how many soldiers that do know God decide to rend, tear, rip, and cut up the seamless robe of Jesus. Seamless robe, a seamless garment worn close to the skin, a seamless garment that rests against the skin of Jesus Christ. The seamless coat of grace and glory. The seamless coat of man and God. The seamless coat of human and divine, the seamless coat of Son and God, the seamless robe of Messiah and Lord, the seamless robe of servant and King, the seamless robe of humility and majesty. So many meanings. If a seamless robe is torn, can it ever again be seamless? Luke 19:24, let us not tear it. The lots are cast. And a soldier has come out on top. A soldier has won. This seamless robe, his prize, his winnings. What fortune, what luck. You know, I wonder the soldier's name. What did he do with it? This prize, this gem, was it kept and shown as treasure? Did the man dare try it on? Did the man sell it? Did the man trade it? Was the man affected by it and affected by it? You know, one thing is certain, this seamless robe of Jesus was anything but meaningless. The garment closest to Jesus, the garment that graced his skin, the garment worn beneath all others, this coat, splendid attire, heavenly vesture, worn by God in flesh. Can you imagine a seamless robe so perfect, so magnificent, so glorious that sinners cast lots for it, gamble for it? You know, Jesus wore a seamless robe, and we can too. Looking for seams. Turn the garment over. Check the sides. Check close to the openings. Check the edges, perhaps. So subtle. Not a seam to be found. So divine, so costly, so glorious. Imagine your robe. Your Jesus garment worn in the flesh, you know, God in flesh. Imagine, so seamless, so gloriously perfect that men would cast lots and gamble for it. What if we wore seamless grace and glory? Or what about, you know, man and God, human and divine, Son and God, Messiah and Lord? What we're talking about is the truth of who he is and all that he is. Don't tear it up. And our coat, seamless, servant and king. Little s servant and little k king. Seamless humanity. And God's seamless humility and majesty. You know, these are not to be torn up. These are not to be full of seams. Let's talk for a moment this morning of grace and glory. These words, there are just two things for me to talk about at this time. The first gift and the last gift. The Lord will give grace. That is his first gift. The Lord will give glory. That is his last gift. Glory never comes without grace coming first. But grace never comes without glory coming last. The two are bound together, and what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. He never gave grace without giving glory, and he never gave glory without first giving grace. You must have the two. They must go together. You must not attempt to tear this seamless coat. The Lord will give grace and glory. This seamless body coat, this seamless robe, this seamless garment of our Lord, we know it. Think of his seamless coat as our friend. His seamless coat of friendship. What a friend we found in Jesus. Seamlessly faithful, seamlessly loyal, seamlessly caring, seamlessly loving. I don't know about you, but I've looked the garment over. I've handled it, and I can assure you there are no seams. And have we not felt the seamless coat of David wrapped about his Jonathan? Yes, the greater David. Concerning the coat of his friendship, truly it is without seam. It's seamless, woven from the top throughout, woven in one piece. Imagine if we wore a seamless robe of friendship like our Jesus. A seamless coat of friendship. I can't help but think of a coat of many colors. Many colors, and yet seamless. These colors seamlessly in motion throughout the entire garment. And what of the garments we wear? The garment of salvation. The garment of servanthood. Are we wearing it? The garment of compassion and kindness, the garment of humility, the garment of righteousness, the garment of praise. You know, we often think of these as separate garments. But what if they were one garment, seamless? Seamless. Colors at play, colors seamlessly in motion throughout, woven from the top throughout, woven in one piece, divine flow. And this might just be a word for some here today. You know, I thought about it. Isn't it true that you'd never have to put on the garment of praise if you never took it off? And this fitting for all mentioned garments. The seamless body coat. You know, I can testify that I've felt the oneness of this coat. Have you not felt the oneness of this coat in our times of prayer and corporate prayer as we pray in the Spirit, which so seamlessly flows into prayer with understanding, which gives way to worship and the anthem of praise? Seamless. Many meanings here today. Think of the robe, the coat of forgiveness Jesus has given to us. Further words, remove the filthy garments from him. See, I have caused your wickedness to be taken away from you, and I will clothe and beautify you with rich robes of forgiveness. God's children are wrapped around with a robe, a seamless robe, which earth and heaven could not buy the like of it, or at once lost. For texture, it excels the fine linen of the merchants. For whiteness, it is purer than the driven snow. No looms on earth could make it, but Jesus spent his life to make my robe of righteousness. There was a drop of blood in every throw of the shuttle. and every thread was made of his own heart's agonies. It is a robe that is divine, complete, a better robe than Adam wore in the perfection of Eden. Adam had but a human righteousness, though a perfect one, but we have a divinely perfect righteousness. Strangely, my soul, are you arrayed? For your Savior's garment is on you. The royal robe of David is wrapped about his Jonathan. Look at God's people as they are clothed also in the garments of sanctification. Was there ever such a robe as jeweled as that? Every day he arrays the lowliest of his people as though it were a wedding day. He arrays them as a bride adorns herself with jewels. He will have them dressed in gold of Ophir. What riches of grace then must there be in God who thus clothes his children? He has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. Isaiah 61:10. Listen, no looms on earth can make it. Yeah, the only reason we can wear a seamless coat is because of the seamless one. Because of Jesus, because of his sacrifice. No looms on earth could make it, and no looms on earth can make it. Jesus spent his life to make this coat of which we speak. A drop of blood in every throw of the shuttle, in his own heart's agonies, every thread. I want to ask today, should we not wear a seamless robe? Of salvation that flows right into righteousness, praise, and so on. No seams, seamless flow, seamless fabric, supernatural, like a coat of many colors. All these colors at work and at play, marking us, dressing us, and a witness, setting us apart. These colors of Zoe life, what only Jesus can make, a tailor like no other. You know, people are looking at the garment. Turn the garment over. Check the sides. Check close to the openings. Check the edges, perhaps so subtle. Bring it to where it's not as bright. Or bring it to where it's perhaps brighter. There's got to be a seam somewhere. Seams all over the coat of the common. What a wonder, the coat of the Christian. Genesis 37:3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was a son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. The Amplified Bible. Now Israel, Jacob loved Joseph more than all his children because he was a son of his old age, and he made him a distinctive multicolored tunic. I am not suggesting Joseph's coat was seamless. We know what happened one day. If you know the story, we know what happened one day as Joseph, at the command of his father, went out to see how his brothers were doing and bring back report. They saw him in the distance. Here he comes. Here comes that dreamer. Come on, let's kill him and throw him into one of the pits. We can say that a vicious animal ate him. Then we'll see what becomes of his dreams. No, they didn't end up taking his life, but they threw him in a pit and then sold him into slavery. And what to do with that coat? that coat of many colors. Genesis 37, 31 to 33. And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors and they brought it to their father and said, "This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no." And he knew it and said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without rent in pieces." The coat of Joseph, a tunic, undergarment, a long shirt-like garment, usually of linen, an inner garment next to the skin. No, not the exact word used. The word for Joseph's coat, the feminine noun. The word for Jesus' coat, the masculine noun. What a picture of our position as the bride of Christ. The lesser and the greater Joseph. Listen, I'm not suggesting Joseph's coat was seamless, but it was so unique. It was so different, so distinctive, so special that it set him apart. And in his case, those around him hated it. Jesus, the greater Joseph, the dreamer, kingdom dreamer, king dreamer. The great supplier, the great provider. Well, didn't he come to the field of earth at the command of his father? He came to earth. He came to the field of earth at the command of his father. Go check on people. Go check on the brethren. They need help. Oh, the brethren saw him. They plotted to kill him. Bow to this. This dreamer, this kingdom dreamer, his vesture, his coat. They said to one another, "Here comes that dreamer. Come on, let's kill him and throw him in one of the pits. Then we'll see what becomes of his dreams." Well, they did kill Jesus. And they cast lots for the body coat of this dreamer. These words, "For thus saith he himself, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Did you ever think of what a stern battle that was which Christ had to fight with the world? The world first said, "I will extinguish him, he shall not be known." And it threw on Christ heaps of poverty that there he might be smothered. But he shone in his poverty, and the seamless coat shone with greater light than the robe of the rabbi. This coat of many colors was not rent. It was not torn. It was not ripped. It was not cut. Look! The dice stained with the blood of Christ, yet the gamblers play on beneath the shadow of the cross. And in this sense, the coat dipped in blood. You know, there were those in the earth that marveled at the coat of the greater Joseph, and there were those that despised that coat. Can you picture it? The dice stained with the blood of Christ, and yet the gamblers play on. Beneath the shadow of the cross. Instead of turning, instead of casting upon the Christ, and how many are right there at the cross, gambling instead of bowing, gambling instead of repenting. Casting dice. You know, Joseph's coat, it was so unique. It was so different, so distinctive, so special, it set him apart. And the Lord would have us clothed in a coat so unique, so different, so distinct, so special that it sets us apart. You're saying, I don't know if I want to wear that coat. Yeah, some will marvel. For some did marvel at the seamless coat of the greater Joseph. And some will despise the coat we wear. And that is okay. We must wear what Jesus has given us, and yes, what our Heavenly Father has given us. We must wear it in the flesh and wear it in the spirit. We must not be ashamed. For whatever may come, the Lord's intended way and end will be our portion. And should there be those that mean evil for us coat wearers, we know this, that the Lord our God means it for good. Read it. Genesis 50, verse 20. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now we read Isaiah 53, 10 and 11. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. He shall see light. By his knowledge, my righteous servant, that is Jesus, shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Church, I don't know. Do you not wake up every day and you're not still amazed that it pleased the Lord to bruise and crush Christ for you? For me. It was my sins that nailed him to the cross. For God so loved the world. What a coat Jesus wore. And a seamless coat of no compromise. Would he not have his church wear a seamless coat of no compromise? Would he not have the saints wear a seamless coat of no compromise? Would he not have the young and the old wear a seamless coat of no compromise? Many meanings here today. You say this seamless coat of Jesus was an undergarment. So if I wear a coat like this, how can the world see it? Listen, what's closest to the skin will show forth and shine just fine. It always does. This speaks positive and negative today. What's closest to the skin will show forth and shine just fine. It always does. True colors cannot be concealed by the outer garments we must wear in this world. The outer garments of environment and climate and occupation and recreation. Listen, you don't have to wear it over top of the outer garments. Trust in the power of what is closest to the skin, for that's where this coat belongs. We need always feel its quality and seamlessness. Divine vesture. Let's have the worship team return today. Perhaps the seamless coat is torn. Not the seamless coat of Jesus, for it cannot be. But what of the body coat Jesus gives to us, to each of us? Any tears and tearing? Any rips and ripping, any cuts and cutting. Perhaps we've tried to repair it. We've gone to the loom or to the loom of a worldling, but this has proven futile. The seams are there and they're visible. We need to come before Jesus today. The seamless, it'll always be a coat woven from the top throughout, woven in one piece. Come before him today. Let him take your measurements. Let him begin to weave your seamless coat, a coat no earthly loom could ever make, a coat that only one can make You know why it's got to be seamless? Because when there are seams, there's always a chance it can come apart. Come apart at the seams. Think about it. We need a body coat that has no seams. You know, when you gaze at and handle a seamless garment, you realize the vulnerability and weakness of your inferior garment with seams, your earthloom garment. And concerning the bride of Christ, you know, the bride is to wear a seamless robe. Oh, for a seamless robe of unity. Wow, it's almost like good luck. Good luck! Seams all over. Look at the church. God help us. God help us now. God help your kingdom, and you will. Because you said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God, you got a plan. Weave from the top. Weave from the top throughout. And you know, the end will prove that the coat is seamless. Is there a soldier in the house? A criminal? A criminal soldier? We all are, if not for Jesus. You know what's beautiful and what's good news? Jesus hung as a criminal, took our place, took your place. Our sins put him there, nailed him to the cross. And because he died, his clothes can be the executioner's profit. Man, some of you will get this one day. When we acknowledge that we are the executioners, that it's because of our sin that Jesus died on the cross. Yes, the criminal's clothes were the executioner's profits. Hear these words today. Remove the filthy garments from him. See, I have caused your wickedness to be taken away from you, and I will clothe and beautify you with rich robes of forgiveness. Let's stand in the house of the Lord today. We're just going to close at this course. If you need prayer for anything today, please feel free to come forward. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, what a day to respond. To open up your heart, open up your life, surrender to him. Become a child of God. Let him clothe you today in a seamless robe of forgiveness. No seams. Woven from the top throughout. Lord, we love you. You're amazing, God.